This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Matt Doyle is producing, and our guest is General Russell Honoré for much of the hour. General Honoré, of course, is the hero from Katrina, who in recent years has been leading a charge for environmental issues at the Capitol as head of the Green Army. And the session was just completed, and even though we do know that at this point in our life, the business lobby has more clout at the Capitol than other entities, the general says he scored some victories with his supporters. And before we get to the wins, once again, you tried to get an air monitoring bill passed. That one did not go the distance. In fact, it didn't go very far at all. What happened?
Well, through some emotional discussions in the House Natural Resource Committee, led by a team from Louisiana Environmental Action Network, LEAN, and help from Sierra Club, we presented Representative Bowie presented a bill on air monitoring. This has been the fifth year that that bill has been defeated resoundingly inside the Natural Resource Committee. And to quote the representative from north side of the lake, I won't mention her name, last year she said, General, the smell of pollution is money. That's the culture we're dealing with in that community. And this year, representative, the quote in killing this bill was, well, if this is going to cost industry money, I'm totally against it. Neither one of them focus on protecting people's health. They focus on the equities of the industry over the health of the people. And we do have air. We need more air monitoring because we got more plants coming. The plants that we do have are getting older. Some of them are producing more and more toxic products. And people need to remember the word permit is a permit to pollute. So many parts per billion. We forget, and industry will say, well, we got a permit from EPA to dump this stuff in the river. Mm-hmm. It's a permit to pollute. Rivers weren't designed to have spills from big manufacturing plant with all sorts of chemicals in it that as soon as it hit the water, any fish there, it kills. That's called dilution. That's not a solution to pollution, dilution. We had a plan last month by Mosaic to take that billion gallons of water and spray it in the air. How stupid is that? And it was seriously considered. They would create their own weather in St. James Parish by spraying that stuff in the air. I mean, everything is on the side of industry. And it's like, anything we do to try and regulate it, there's a fear that we're going to run industry away. I think we need to get at that point in Louisiana. We're not running industry away, but we have to live here and we have to take care of our health.
Now, amid this disappointment from you and others, there were some victories from your camp, and you have touted those as well. You've been, of course, passionate about the aquifer here in Baton Rouge, and there was some movement from your vantage point to a positive place in the session. What happened?
Well, Representative Marcel presented a resolution that would cause the Office of Conservation to study to determine whether we need to declare the aquifer area of critical concern. In the bureaucratic language, what that means is, do we really need to start measuring the amount of and controlling the amount of water that industry is taking? That task has been on the table now for over 17 years to get that done. And what we've continued to do is what we're doing this year, to have another study, create some more scavenger wells, and we're still in the same place. Every day we sit here, the aquifer is getting weaker, and the amount of fresh water in it is going down. And the Baton Rouge Water Company is managing it. But at the end of the day, we need to reduce industry's use of aquifer water and get the industries in Baton Rouge, just like they are in Iberville and St. John and St. James Parish, to use river water. Mm-hmm. We're not asking them to do something that other companies are not doing. We're asking them to use river water so we can save the aquifer. And this year we've added Ascension Parish to the aquifer, and they will be using more water from the aquifer. And I think as Great Hayes Towns, who started this study some years ago, said, we ought to save the aquifer for human consumption.
877-217-5757 for General Russell Honore. Last week we heard from Christopher Delia, the professor and dean of the College of the Coast and Environment, and a question came from a listener about how Louisiana might do what the Netherlands is doing. And Professor Delia, Dean Delia, he produced an email saying that the Netherlands has 17 million people and a population density of 488 people per km2. The Netherlands is the most densely populated country of the European Union, one of the most densely populated countries in the world. Its coastline is a relatively short 451 kilometers because it has been so reworked and protected since a 1953 flood. That's about 37,694 people per kilometer to pay for protection and restoration of their coast. Louisiana, on the other hand, has just 375 people per kilometer to pay for protection and restoration of our coast. So he says that this is not going to work unless there is a huge undertaking from the government. And General Honore, I'm sure you would agree with that, but the boot is gone in Louisiana. We are losing a football field every 90 seconds, and yet we're not paying a whole lot of attention.
Absolutely. I lived in the Netherlands for 2 years and have a great appreciation for how well-resourced their water management is. That being said, I do think the Port of New Orleans is a national security event. It should be declared for national security for our country. If you think about the amount of exports that go through the Port of New Orleans, because of the barges, 50% of the barges in America are in Louisiana every day bringing stuff here to be shipped out, we need to figure out how we're going to protect our most valuable asset. That's the Port of New Orleans and the City of New Orleans. Those points south, there are going to be a lot of places that we're going to have to give up that we currently occupy because we cannot stop the saltwater intrusion. And with rising sea levels and with flooding, it's getting more and more tenuous. But I think our congressional delegation need to be focused on how do we get national resources through the Corps engineers and others to help protect critical assets along our coastline. And how do we protect Houma and Thibodaux for a foreseeable future? If we don't do that, it's only going to get worse. The challenge we have is if you mention the word climate change in Louisiana, people just go, I mean, they spin out the head. Oh, there's no climate change. Well, the sea level's rising, and we've got water at the end of every road in South Louisiana at high tides that we didn't have 4 or 5 years ago. So something's happening. We're losing our coastline. That's been documented. And the reason we're losing is because of man-made pollution. Has a lot to do with it. And there's the argument about the impact of the levee. Yes, if you want flood protection, you got the levee. And when the levee is there, it doesn't bring the sediment down to the coast. But we also have the saltwater intrusion canals that have allowed saltwater to come in and destroy much of our wetlands. And that was done by industry.
All right, 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org for General Honore. And I misspoke a moment ago. I said we were losing a football field every 90 seconds, every 90 minutes. We're not losing it quite that fast, but every 90 minutes, you can imagine, we've lost the equivalent in the last half century to the state of Delaware. That's gone, and the maps you see are not accurate. There is a gaping hole leading right up to New Orleans, and soon, if things don't happen, Baton Rouge will be affected. We'll have waterfront property throughout Baton Rouge, and then ultimately at some point the whole city will collapse unless something is done. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, I wonder if your guest drove a car to the studio this morning, because if he did, maybe we should start banning cars. They pollute. The food you eat, how do you think the fertilizer is made to grow that food? Well, Mosaic is the one that makes that fertilizer. You know, and I guess okay, so if we don't want to produce any products here in America, is it better that we just let communist China or Venezuela? Look at all the Venezuela. They're dumping oil in the Gulf. They don't even care. Is it better to go ahead and produce that stuff in third world countries where they don't care about the environment?
And this is a typical argument. Yes, I drove a car here, and I'm very proud to be able to drive a car here. Mosaic, for every 1,000 pounds of fertilizer they produce 5,000 pounds of residue that is radioactive. And the state of Louisiana has allowed them to pile it over 200 feet in the air. Mm-hmm. And inside of it hold a million gallons. That is probably as stupid as you can get. I understand the gentleman's argument. It's a common argument in Louisiana. But that's a man-made obstacle that could destroy a blind bayou and Bayou Manchac.
We'll return with General Honore, your number, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. A bit longer with General Russell Luke Honore, who is the hero of Katrina. That's been almost 14 years, but his passion for the state and for the environment goes on as head of the Green Army. He was a fixture at the Capitol for much of the session and has been for the last several years. Frank in Mid-City. Frank, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, General. Thank you for all the work that you're doing. I wanted to call in and just make one comment, although I want to say one thing before that, which is it's so dispiriting to hear people call in and engage in these sort of made-up arguments, and it's so aggressive, and it's not helpful to the conversation. But secondly, one of the things that I think people don't touch on is the effect that subsidizing oil and gas has on our economy, because when you take the safest bet in town, which is to say some of the largest and most profitable industries in the world like Exxon or a lot of the other oil and gas, and you throw subsidies at them, you actually make all other businesses non-competitive in our state. So the more money we throw at industry, the harder it is to get any other decent industry working here. So anyway, I'll thank you all for your work.
All right. Thank you, Frank in Mid-City. General?
Well, I think Frank makes a good point. But this is a bed we've made. Our legislature is designed to protect the oil and gas industry. Matter of fact, our state attorney general has openly and repetitively said his job as the attorney general is to protect the oil and gas industry. Now, that is a strange and unusual factor, and the people of Louisiana need to understand, do we want an attorney general who say his job is to protect oil and gas or to protect us from the effects of oil and gas that may affect our breathing, our water, our land, and our air.
A few years ago, as in four, many people were trying to get you in the governor's race. You decided not to. Why did you not run?
I think the state of Louisiana deserves somebody to be governor who want to be governor, who is passionate about it, wake up in the morning, as I'm sure Governor Bell Evers did.
Your fellow
and say, I want to be governor. I never woke up with that passion, and I think the people of Louisiana deserve to have somebody who want to be governor.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on the air with Lieutenant General Russell Honore.
Yeah, General, is the problem with all this pollution that the new golden rule is who's got the gold gets to make the rules?
Yes, it's called regulatory capture in the world I live in, whereas the industry that's being regulated actually shape policy and actually shape the regulators and how they regulate their industry. And it's called regulatory capture. If you like, you can look on my Facebook page. I've got a picture of that doctrine. But we see it happening every day in Louisiana. The bills that we got killed in the legislature on air monitoring was resoundingly killed by industry, to include Lobby, Chemical Association, Mid-Continental Oil, and LOGA. They come every year. They do not want any more air monitoring than absolutely required by federal government.
Now, you said climate change is a dirty phrase in Louisiana, but nationally, you've got the president who said that climate change is a hoax started by the Chinese, the person who has more listeners in radio than any other commentator, Rush Hudson Limbaugh III, has said it's a hoax, that it's not real. How do you combat that with people with these huge megaphones who have a lot of followers, who hang on every word and believe what their leaders are telling them.
Well, right here in Louisiana, we could see the impact that we are having as humans on, when I go to places in South Louisiana, I don't use the word climate change. What I ask people about is pollution. What is described nationally, internationally as climate change is warming of the atmosphere, warming of the ocean. Much of that is directly related to man-made ozone, carbon, methane. Those type of chemicals are causing the earth to warm. That's been directly documented by scientists all over the world. That denial is going down that river, denial. But the fact is, when you see the flooding in the Midwest, when you see the Mississippi at one of the longest extended flood levels, that's not just happening. When you see Baton Rouge last week, we got 4 inches of rain in 2 hours. Those are anomalies that's attributed to things that we are doing in the atmosphere with the release of pollution. Pollution, man-made pollution is causing much of this. When you look out in the West Coast, the big fires, that's man-made pollution. I think the challenge of politicians globally is how do we operationalize what we are doing to Mother Earth in terms of relating the effects of climate change as created by pollution. And many people don't make that connection. If you remember flying into Los Angeles in the 70s, you would fly in and you would float through a cloud of pollution. Then they came up with improvements in gas, came up with improvements in automobiles. Now you fly in and the air is clear. You used to cross the old bridge coming into Baton Rouge, and there was a plant there. And your mom and daddy would tell you, hold your breath till you got past that. That after 1972, when the Clean Air Act cleaned a lot of those issues up, but it left and continues to contribute to the impact of our atmosphere, which is causing the ice cap to melt. It's causing the Gulf of Mexico to be warmer. Undisputed facts. But the word climate change has been used as a way to classify people as opposed to us taking on issues like getting rid of styrofoam, of getting rid of plastic bags. All those are contributing to the quality of our water and the ocean and where all that debris end up, to include hard plastics. It's ending up, we don't have place to put it, and there's no way to recycle all of it. And we should have gotten rid of styrofoam 10 years ago.
Well, are we an undisciplined world and country? We have these huge deficits, federal debt going out of sight. We're living like there's no tomorrow when it comes to the environment. And we certainly at some point will have to pay for this. And personally, we're not taking care of ourselves either. And it's evident by the leaders of our country. The leader of the free world is a man who, it's fair to say, is a man devoid of discipline. What's happened?
I don't know, but I think our grandchildren will not call us the greatest generation. They may refer to us as a generation who looked the other way or being tone deaf to what we're doing to the environment. The Pope said we must save Mother Earth. I think that's a pretty clean mission. And we collectively need to do that. We all can take actions to fix it. But what the industry is doing, now we're talking about uncontrolled release of production fluids in the Gulf. 35% of our nation's seafood come out the Gulf. We've got cities dumping their sewage water in Lake Pontchartrain. And we tell people, come here to fish. At the same time, we've just released the Mississippi River. Bonnie Carey had to release it in Lake Pontchartrain. Lake Pontchartrain was a healthy lake today because not of the government, because of people, the Lake Pontchartrain Foundation, who stopped industry from destroying it. It wasn't the government that did it. So Lake Pontchartrain could be an example for what we can do here in Baton Rouge, what we can do in St. John's and St. James Parish, is to clean up the air and clean up the land.
Now, we're going to keep the general through the break, and then we'll hear if things go according to plan from John Milkovich and Sandy McDade. But Ike in Ascension Parish says, please ask General Honoré whether regulatory capture is what has prevented any examination whatsoever of the impact that we have on the health and prosperity of folks who actually live in Cancer Alley.
I think it is. We just spent a lot of time going back between St. John, St. James, and St. Charles Parish, and Iberville and Ascension Parish. And the people who live in the shadows of these plants are primarily poor people and mostly African American. They have no voice in their parishes. They have very little representation on the parish school board, very little representation on the parish council, and hardly any representation at the state.
Your number is 877-217-5757. We're back after the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, and General Honoré is finishing up his visit with us, and we'll be joined soon by Sandy McDade, the founder of the Eagle Forum in Louisiana. 40 years she's been advocating pro-life stance, and of course she is very happy about what happened in the legislature, and the man who sponsored the bill, John Milkovich, is also slated to join us, Senator John Charles Milkovich. Russell Honoré, you were surveying the session, and I know there are some things that you are pleased about amid some setbacks, and one of those is that there will be more emphasis on testing the water and what's going on regarding that.
Well, you know, when Governor Evans came to office, he was greeted with St. Joe.
Right.
And had to create a national or a state emergency. And from that, over the years, he developed a water task force. That turned in this year by Senator Thompson to be a bill, and now it's going into law, a water task force that will address the primarily rural water systems in Louisiana. You know, we have about 1,200, maybe 40 approximate systems. Of that, 400 are declared to be in trouble. And that task force created by the governor bring all of government together, federal, state, and local, to solve those problems. And the other thing we got out from last year's session that came in, we got an audit report from the state auditor on the Capital Area Groundwater Commission that actually controls the aquifer. That audit report, people in Baton Rouge and surrounding parishes should read it. It's very revealing. You can find it online. The auditor did a great job.
Well, thank you, General Russell Honoré. Thank you for your service to our country and for your continuing work. Appreciate your comments today.
Good day, Baton Rouge.
There you go. And Louisiana.